Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, folks. Ralph Ferry, welcome back to Celtic Fanzine TV and the Celtic Soul podcast on audio, available across all platforms. If you are watching on YouTube, please hit that subscribe button and also hit the alarm button so you never miss an episode. Well, today I'm joined by Glasgow poet Aaron Boyle for Catch Up. It's been a while, Aaron. How has your summer been?
Hi, I'm great, Andrew. It's great to see you. It's not quite in the flesh, but it will do. It's absolutely roasting here. I think it's hitting about 30 degrees, so I'm sweating, I'm boiling and I'm burnt, but that's just a typical life of a ginger. How are you?
I'm good. As they say in Glasgow, taps off weather.
Well, honestly, it is. So I was just off a bus there coming back from work, and you know that way everybody just feels as if we're all sticky. Oh, it's horrible.
But well, it's not very often we get it, so enjoy the good weather. I'm in the studio for the first time. I walked in about 10 minutes ago for the first time in about 5 or 6 weeks, and I am sweltering because every time I'm in here, I have the heating on. And I walked in today, and it is absolutely roasting because it's so well insulated for sound. So it's just roasting. But I'm happy with the good weather. I'm happy to be still wearing my shorts after my holidays, which took me to Spain and to the North American Convention in America in the heat of Las Vegas, which was absolutely brilliant. So what have you been up to for the summer?
I have, first of all, been taking a wee break. I took a wee bit of time just to chill when I finished uni, taking a lot of extra shifts on, getting the kitchen. Student life, my part-time job. I work in the libraries, which is a lovely wee part-time job. As a student, everybody I work with is great and is brilliant. And so that was kind of pre-season. And now that the football's back up, it's been busy, busy with Partick Thistle. So tonight, we've got a Premier Sports Cup game against Fraserburgh in the Highland League. And I've actually got a big news. I've not told you yet, Andrew. This is quite exciting. Tonight, I am a Firhill's Tannoy announcer, my big stadium debut Tannoy announcing gig. And apparently, I haven't checked yet, but apparently it's looking like I will be the first female Tannoy announcer in Scottish football. It's not a fact yet. I have to kind of look it up, but I'm certainly the only current female Tannoy announcer at the moment anyway. So that's quite a milestone both for myself and for Thistle, which is quite exciting. And I didn't get to the game on Saturday, unfortunately, and I didn't even get to the training day yesterday, but I'm quite glad I missed that because it was just too hot. So hoping to get back in the 31st against Aberdeen and get back to Paradise.
So tell me a little bit, Patrick Thistle. What's the connection though?
So I worked with Partick Thistle. Last season, I joined the media team as a videographer and production assistant. And this season I took a wee bit more responsibility on. So last week against Stenhouse Muir, I was on the socials. So I was doing the Twitter updates on the official pages and the Instagram, the Facebook. And, you know, just I suppose it's kind of all around dog's body, if you like. Kind of like tonight, I didn't expect to be doing tannoy and instant. Our tannoy and instant Greg can't make it kind of pre-season. So he's asked me to step in. It's actually Jerry himself. A few months ago, I had done some tannoy and instant for the women's team. And Jerry Britton, obviously ex-Celtic player and now the Partick Thistle chief executive, was quite impressed at the women's game. And he'd asked me to fill in tonight at Fir Hill. So we'll see how it goes. In this seat, I feel a bit heat exhausted, but it's exciting. Didn't expect to be, didn't expect to fall in love with Thistle. Not just a workplace, but, you know, it's my local club, if you like. And it's not quite, you know, it's the Championship, so it's, you know, one league away, we could get promoted, but it's quite good to hold on to your kind of grassroots football and your grassroots club. So it's exciting times.
Yeah, you're getting some experience.
Well, that's at the end of the day, that's what it's all about, I suppose, as well, is getting your throwing yourself into the deep end, if you like, especially things like, you know, a professional football club, social media. It comes with a lot. It's not just about updating, you know, doing game updates or commentary. It comes with a lot of responsibility. You've got a whole fan base there. Sometimes I forget, you know, I've got a love for Thistle. It's my local club, being from Maryhill. But sometimes I have to dive into to actually get to know the fans. I forget that it's, you know, it's people love Thistle the way we love Celtic, and there's a duty of care there. There's a duty of responsibility that you represent the fans and you create content that the fans will engage with and appreciate and love. And Saturday, after the game, I went up to hospitality just to kind of sit with some supporters. There was a man of the match hospitality presentation where Ian McCall done a wee chat, and Tunji Akinola had also spoke on behalf of the man of the match. And it was a great chance for me to sit and mingle with the supporters, and, you know, I got to see how much it means to them. So it's exciting. Sometimes I have to remember that it's people love Thistle, and I'm falling in love with Thistle, that's for sure. The only thing is, it's going to be quite difficult to balance Celtic and Thistle this season. So, you know, I did say to my boss, I was like, 3rd of September, and I can't make it. but yeah, it's exciting.
Yeah, it's a balancing act now between Thistle and Celtic, and you'll be hoping that the fixtures don't clash.
Yeah, well, last year it was worse. I was also working with Queen's Park last year as a videographer, so that's 3 football clubs in one season. That was 3 football clubs, 3 different Scottish leagues in one person. So that was fun and games, but I didn't have quite a heavy commitment with Queen's Park. It was just great to know Glasgow's 4th club, and get to know their fans, get to know the club, get to know their kind of ethos, and also get to their games as well. And Queen's Park were promoted last year, and they were also ground sharing at Fir Hill. So that was a good experience too, but two clubs is enough. 2 clubs is more than enough.
Yeah, and Queen's Park are they're on the way up. They seem to have a few bob now, and I know a few lads that have signed contracts with them.
Yeah, Queen's Park, they're sitting at an exciting position right now. And who knows what's going to happen this season in the Championship. Thistle were unfortunate last year reaching the playoffs. It was fortunate for Kelly. Augusta for a broth, you know, it would have been good to see the underdogs climbing and getting promoted. And that was just exciting to watch. I think everybody in the whole country tuned into Kelly and Arbroath. So
yeah, Arbroath was just one story throughout the season.
That would have been a, what do you call it? Not a miracle, but a fairy tale.
A fairy tale. Big Rab Douglas could have been the fairy queen.
Yeah.
Big Rob's up there doing the goalkeeping coach. We've chatted to Rob on the podcast before and that, and he did speak about Arbroath. Aaron, it's important as well that to take a break when the season finishes and to recharge the batteries, because there's not a lot happening. Even when I was in Spain and I was at the convention in Vegas, and even there I was checking my phone and I was going, why? Because there's not a lot happening. A couple of signings come in, but you know, you could read it in 5 minutes, and yet we're still obsessed with Celtic. But I love switching off, and I got the opportunity to go and see my son Connor on the decks in Ibiza, and I think it was more suited, Aaron, for your age group. I was there for 3 nights and 4 days, and I tell you one thing, I was a tired man when I got home.
I think that the last time we spoke about Connor, you were messaging me to see if I knew anybody in Glasgow that could hunt down his passport that day, remember, in the sub club. So I'm not familiar with the nightlife myself, to be honest. I'm more of an old fogey myself. I've never been to Ibiza, but Connor seems to be smashing it. And it's
he's loving it. He'll definitely need to recharge his batteries when he gets back.
Definitely in the sun, I've not been able to handle today, let alone Ibiza.
Yeah, Aaron, and a few bits and pieces. Before I forget, the website's back up. We took a break for 4, 5, maybe 6 weeks on some of the stuff we do. But the website's back up. CelticFanzine.com is back up. And we've restocked the shop because people were saying we were out of a lot of sizes and a lot of bits. But that's because we had a bumper summer with the merchandise, and we've been on to the screen printers and the designers to get more stuff done. So watch this space. But we have a lot more stock in now. We got a lot in the last 2 weeks. So the shop is back up and running. And thanks to everybody who supports us that way. And the fanzine, which Aaron is so kind to write for, more than 90 minutes, issue 122 is on hold because Richie, our graphic designer, it's his holiday time. And he's not back till I think the 9th of August or maybe the 5th of August. So it'll be after the first game of the season that we get the fans, you know. He's off at music festivals, and I think he's taking a little holiday in Belgium. So, Richie, enjoy the holidays, and thanks very much for everything during the season. So, Aaron, what do I hear now? So, the poetry. Has the poetry took a back seat now that you're so busy with all these football clubs?
The poetry will never take a back seat. I write every day, and people might not see that. You know, I think, to be honest, this is the first we've actually spoke after last summer, which was quite a summer for me in terms of the spoken word and the poetry. You know, I think it actually shook me up a little bit, and I don't think I've actually put anything out since. So I think this season, Not exactly football content, but just this season, as I'm thinking of like time, but this kind of year coming, I feel like I'll be planning and putting more stuff out and re-sparking that passion for myself. I've been writing a lot, I write every day. At the end of the day, it's a form of expression, and it's not about writing poetry and spoken words. It's not about making money. Fortunately, I've been working with a lot of kind of big corporate companies. One, for example, Network Rail. I had done a commission for them for an advert, and I had recently worked for FIFA as well. FIFA had launched a new channel called FIFA Plus, and I had hosted a documentary and written a poetry commission for our project as part of FIFA Plus, where we had documented and told the story of Glasgow City, which is a women's football club in Glasgow. So a lot of exciting things have happened, but alongside that, I've almost fallen out of love with the roots of why I write. So I think that's been a big part of the break, is just to kind of reevaluate why I do what I do and to fall in love with that again. Last year, May, June, within 3 weeks of May and June, I had put out 3 pieces of content each Friday back to back. The first piece of content was the Scott Brown tribute, Andrew, it was for you, Scott Brown's tribute poem that you put out in your channels. The following week, the Celtic season ticket advert was launched, and I was the face of that campaign. And then the following Friday, there was the Euros advert for BBC Scotland, and it was a poem in the build-up to Scotland being in the Euros. And I received quite a lot of abuse for that, both online and also in the streets and in pubs. And I didn't quite realise how much it took a toll. So it was nice just to take a step back and reevaluate a bit. And it's not that you let comments get to you. It's not like that at all. But I think it drained me a little bit. You know, I was 21 years of age, and it's quite a lot to handle. You know, when people are shouting at you in the street. A man had actually posted my full address on Twitter. And you know, the follow forums were just absolutely disgusting and really personal, both to me and my family. So it did shake me up a little bit. Took a wee step back, get back in with the Kano last season as well, did some work with the Kano, but unfortunately I've had to kind of take a step back for that as well just now. So I think the moral of the story across my whole kind of year this year has been slowing down and remembering why you do what you do and remembering what you truly love.
Yeah, and Aaron, there's only so much you can do as well. We all think we can do so much, but, you know, time, God made plenty of time, but when you're really busy, it doesn't seem like it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm also at uni full time, so got to a point where I had to prioritise uni work and just cool down and just remember that I'm 21 years of age and, you know, have a bit of fun, essentially. But
it was good to hear that you're still involved with the Kano, even if you've had to take a back step, because we do our little dinner every year and we always split the money between the Kano and the Paradise Steps group, two great little charities. And this year you came along and co-hosted the night and had a wonderful interview on stage with the legend that is John Fallon.
Andrew, your dinner band this year was the highlight of my year from start to finish. Just being surrounded by, you know, being in your environment, being surrounded by our friends. It's the More Than 90 Minutes community. And, I treasured that. And it was just such a great night. And obviously, I had a great time chatting to John Fallon as well, which was a great experience too, because he's quite a character. You know, John, if you're listening, you're quite a character. And,
and he wasn't fond that night. He was great fond that night.
John Fallon's always been great fun, but you know, I feel like, you know, you kept me on my toes, John. So that was a great experience. Just great fun, really. It always is the More Than 90 Minutes dance, and as you say, it's always for a great cause. Getting to know the Paradise Steps boys was great as well, because I didn't actually realise just how much the Paradise Steps group do out west or running up and downstairs. They're a great organisation that do great work. And, you know, feeding children and young people quite literally across the world is just so, so, like, commendable. And great to know, great to have the chance to promote the work that Paradise Steps do. And Teresa as well. Teresa stole the show talking about the Kano. What about that too? This is like a wee moment of reminiscing. Sorry, on you go.
No, but I know what you've just. It's important that we get someone from the Paradise Steps onto the podcast as well, because they're not as well known as the Kano Foundation, and they're not as big a charity, and they're not in the public eye as much. But when you see the amount of goodness that they do with, you know, we don't give them, you know, tens of thousands, we give them thousands, and the amount of work they can do with it is unbelievable. You know, out in Africa.
Absolutely. And it was great talking to the guys sitting with them and, you know, their experiences. It was a good laugh. The actual act of running up and down the steps and it was just great, you know, and the guys were talking, you know, just going around tables saying, you know, who wants to get involved? And that's the thing too, like I would absolutely encourage anybody to get involved with Paradise Steps, both to fundraise and also just for that experience as well. And to get to know more of the Selick family, and they're great guys, definitely.
We've got a group at our supporters club who run marathons, and so Mick and Kevin and the boys, if you're listening, you need to do one of these Paradise Steps challenges and run up and down all these steps in a famous stadium, because you're doing these marathons and you need a change.
Not in a day like this, though.
No, definitely not. That. And if you are out in a day like this, don't be drinking beer. Drink plenty of water. Aaron, we'd be touching the poetry now, but you also helped me out, because I was still on my break when all these press conferences were coming up with players. And when the one came up, the one I did want to make sure we got covered was the Jota one, because it was the one we were all waiting for, getting Cardiff Vickers over the line early. And then we got the Argentinian boy in, and we got Seagrass down from Dundee United. But, you know, the Jota one was the one that everybody was waiting on. And I had spoke to someone who was involved with Celtic, and they assured me that it was only a matter of time before the deal would be done. And they text me just as the deal was announced to say, I told you so. I told you not to panic. So I wasn't panicking, but he was such a bright spark in Ange's team, especially when he came in first. You know, him and Kyogo were just standout players up front for us. And then, you know, to have him now as a permanent player. And as I said, you stepped in and you went along to the press conference, and I'm so glad you did, because if we don't attend the press conference, we don't get the rights of the audio. So that's the deal for Celtic. And we thank Celtic for the access they gave us last season and what lies ahead this year. How did you find him on the day? He came across very well.
I thought he was very approachable. He was good fun. He was very down to earth. I think you forget that this is a 23-year-old boy who has just signed for Celtic. He's been with Benfica all his life, really. And just after his signing, I had watched the footage that Celtic put up. Benfica Benfica put up of Jota covering his kind of lifespan at Benfica, and you forget that. You know, that he's only 23, he's a young boy, he's travelling to Scotland. It's a big change for him. It's great for his career, and, you know, he's chose here because he's happy. He obviously feels at home. He came across very comfortable and excited, and he mentioned that, you know, leaving Benfica is like leaving his parents, but he can't wait to get started at Celtic. So he wants to be here, and I think that's the most important thing. So I'm excited to see what comes of Jota and all their signings, and just the team. Like, it's just exciting. It's refreshing to get signings in early in the summer. It's just a whole different world from the position we were in last year. And it's just really exciting. It's also such an honour to be there at his first press conference and to be sitting at eye line with Jota. You know, for a moment, you just had to take a moment and take that in, really, and just treasure that. And, you know, reflect on it in years to come. I mean, Andrew, these press conferences, it's stories that I'll tell my grandkids, you know, and it's something that you don't ever take for granted. A lot, you know, press conferences are designed for the kind of mainstream journalists who are there to get a story. But for you and I, it's really just going there and, you know, not representing Celtic fans, representing yourself, but being there as a Celtic fan. All I am is as a Celtic fan there, who is, one, getting a wee bit of experience, but two, just having that honour to ask these new signings, these Celtic players, these future legends questions face to face. It's on a tangent, but it's just magic, and I really appreciate it from your behalf. Thank you for always asking me.
No, thank you very much, and we will play that Jota interview later on in the show, because it's worth listening to, and we didn't put it out because, again, I was away on holidays at the time, and everybody was just down tools. Aaron, you were the first one to go and do something for us. Everybody had down tools after last season because everything opened back up.
Coming into the party, like when anything else.
Well, everything opening back up, it was just like trying to get to every game, and you know what? I DJed the weekends, and it was sometimes I was leaving the cross, getting in the car, driving to Dublin Airport. You know, going to a game, remember going, I think it was Livingston away, and then getting back, trying to get back on a flight because of another gig that night. So just by the end of the season, I was just exhausted, and I was just so happy that we were champions and we had a great day. And indeed, I thank Celtic Media as well, because we all got access on the pitch that day to a number of players after the trophies were presented. We got access to a number of players, and we also got access to Ange. And, you know, I appreciate that, because it was a long time coming, you know, 21, 22 years writing the fanzine, and you finally get an opportunity now that maybe we should have got many years ago, but we didn't. But look, it's better late than never. But Aaron, another one, you said you were the first one to, you know, at the first press conference when Jota was a permanent player. Well, you were also at the first press conference of Dominic Mackay, who didn't last too long, and Ange Postecoglou. But I want to just touch on another one, because the Tommy Bourne story is back now for another run. And you attended the press conference, and you just caught Ange's attention when you spoke to him about the values and you know, the history of the club. And he came back, because he was out attending the Tommy Bourne story the same night you did. I think it was the premiere at Celtic Park. And his answer, you know what, we'll have a listen now to that question and to Ange's answer.
Hi, Ange. Thanks very much for your time.
Pleasure.
Since you've joined Celtic, you've clearly demonstrated how much you've bought into the ethos and the core beliefs held by much of the support and what Celtic truly means. The Celtic supporters are a poetic group of supporters with a close connection to their faith and heritage, which you would have seen last week at the Tommy Bourne story, and I'm sure you would agree there wasn't a dry eye in the room. After attending the play, how much did the story and the atmosphere in the room help to further your understanding of Celtic, and what did you take away from the play, both from a managing and a personal perspective?
Look, in terms of buying into sort of the ethos and the culture, I haven't had to do that too much, because it's just fairly closely aligned to my own beliefs and my own sort of upbringing. So I felt comfortable from day one. I knew I would, because I kind of understood the football club I was walking into. And so it was a lot easier for me for maybe to understand, you know, the kind of culture and the kind of football and the kind of person that this football club wants to be at, sort of in this sort of position, because as I said, it's closely aligned to my own beliefs, my own values, my own upbringing. So I guess that's, with those kind of things, it resonates more when it's more natural than, I think, if me trying to.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
You know, persuade people of that I believe in this. So I think that's probably the primary reason that maybe people have responded positively to me in the position. In terms of the play, yeah, it was fantastic. Loved every minute of it. You know, obviously well aware of Tommy Burns and his story, but you know, the people putting on the production, it was obviously something very close to their hearts, and you know, they played it that way, you know, what came through is, I think I said a couple of days after, is you can admire the accomplishments and the achievements, but it's the man that sort of breaks through. And I said that about sort of Ferenc Puskás when I got to spend time with him, that these great people, the greatest people, are the ones who stack up as men or women rather than just their achievements. And you can see with Tommy Burns, it's a reason that, you know, people hold him in such high regard. Unfortunately, you know, we lost Birdie yesterday. And again, you just read what people have to say about the man, not the player. There's a great lesson there for everyone, I think, not just me. I think for every person out there, that being a decent human being, irrespective of your achievements or your status in life, goes a long way to ensuring that you do leave the right sort of legacy for yourself, your family, and your name.
So, Aaron, they're brilliant, brilliant moments to you know, you talk about, you know, how you enjoy it and someone as a Celtic fan. But to capture Ange, you know, the way he spoke there, and like to all the fan media out there who, you know, sometimes there's crackers of questions, and then other times if you're near the end, maybe your question is gone that you were going to ask, but it just captured it that day. I don't know if you were on early in the process or late in the press conference, but you just nailed it. And like, we actually cut it for a Celtic soul short just before the end of last season. We were looking for a highlight from Ange from the season, and we cut it, and we forgot all about it because we went off on that little summer break. And then I found it. It was in an email from Dan. Dan had cut it, and he sent it to me. And I found it, and I said, you know what, I'm going to stick this up on YouTube. And we stuck it up last week, and it got a wonderful, wonderful reaction. Although one person was confused because he said the play is only on, and how's he talking about Bertie all dying yesterday? So I had to tell him it was actually recorded last season.
I attended the Tommy Byrne story on its premiere shown in the Kerrydale Street with the Kano Foundation. And Ange Postecoglou was sitting directly in front of us. And sometimes I feel like I was watching his face just as much as the performers on stage, because to me, I thought it was quite an iconic moment for a current Celtic manager to be sitting in the audience, watching a show about a legend like Tommy Byrnes. And, you know, it seemed like such a natural question to ask. I wanted to ask him in the moment, because this is being a Celtic manager, being a Celtic player, being a Celtic fan, being the CEO of Celtic or a Celtic director, you take on a responsibility, and that is to carry through the ethos of Celtic Football Club, and nobody does that better than Tommy Byrnes. And, you know, the famous quotes are there, they're everywhere, and you know that quote just resonates with me as a fan, but it should resonate with every single player, every single manager that passes through that tunnel, and that is because you're carrying through a legacy. And the play was absolutely phenomenal. It was just so emotional. Every single person in the room, it captured everybody's hearts, and you could just feel the energy. I was sitting next to John Andrews from the Celtic Supporters Association, and I think at one point, you know, I felt like I was ready to take his hand. You know, he knew Tommy Byrnes just like a lot of people in the room, and there was tears in his eyes. There was tears in Joe Mackin's son, who's 15, because he's looking at his dad, he's looking at all of us around us, and we're reflecting in that time. I was fortunate enough to attend Tommy Byrnes's not his funeral, but you know, when he came up to Celtic Park, I had laid down a letter for him, as many young Celtic fans did at the time. We have no idea who this man is, but you know, he means so much to my dad. So you grow up and you learn about him yourself, and the play just captured his life and his career magically. And also, you know, I think the play, it didn't just tell the story of Tommy Byrnes, it told the story of his family, and, you know, it was a love story almost. The play started off Tommy Byrnes meeting his future wife and falling in love. So the whole play, just that moment, just, you know, set the scene from there, really. There was also a really magic scene where Tommy Byrnes had found out he was unwell, and he's in the chapel and he's kneeling down and he's praying. And I feel like crying just now just talking about that scene, because for starters, the actor who played him just portrayed him so remarkably that you actually thought it was Tommy Byrnes up there. But everybody in that chapel prayed. And that chapel, see, I'm referring to it as a chapel, it was a Kerrydale Street, but it felt like we were all part of that. It felt like we were transported back to Tommy Byrnes's, you know, all these times in his life. And then to flip that, well, we're all laughing with him. There was a point where an electrician there was something up with Tommy Byrnes' family's washing machine in the house. And this is a true story, because the play also referred back to, you know, the actual family talking about these actual stories. you know, David Carswell, the writer, had, you know, spoke to the family. Everything was so true and was just so authentic, and it came across that way through various kind of techniques in the play. But there was a point where an electrician comes into the house and he's fixing the washing machine, and then he goes, "Oh, Tommy Burns," and then he goes, "Tommy Burns, the Tommy Burns," and he's fixing Tommy Burns' washing machine, and they can't believe it. So he electrocutes himself, and there's like this big blue spark, and then his wife goes, "What was that? Is that, was that a big blue flash?" And Tommy Burns leans across the couch and he goes, there'll be no blue flashes in this house. And like just those wee things to be portrayed in the play, I felt like I walked away knowing Tommy Burns. It was just absolutely phenomenal.
I'm so lucky, Aaron. You're involved in the arts, and we're so lucky that a Celtic football club that we have these people playing these parts in these shows that are Celtic fans, because there's a lot of actors who are Celtic fans. We've had, you know, in recent years we've had the Bend It Like Bertie, Bend It Like Bratback, and the Celtic musical, and they've all been fantastic. So it's been it is great, you know, that you can have, you know, these memories shared, because so not everyone reads a book, and but you know, everybody, you know, has an opportunity to go to theatre now. When and I've spoken about this before, people who wouldn't normally go to theatre, but when it's football and Celtic, there's no, you know, they enjoy an evening at the theatre.
The theatre brings any story to life, anything that's, you know, put on a stage, and it's just magic. There's no better feeling than going to the theatre and watching something come to life. But Celtic fans, whether they want to believe it or not, themselves, we've all got a touch of, you know, poetic heritage within us, and it makes us who we are. And you see that when you're watching shows. You know, you named a few there, but there's an endless. You know, there was Celtic in Seville. I think that was one of the first Celtic plays I went to see, in the Pavilion, 2012. And I'll never forget looking around and just seeing a full theatre singing "You'll Never Walk Alone," singing "Hail Hail," singing, you know, just a whole theatre singing Celtic songs. It was like we were just back at paradise again. And you don't get that with any other football club, especially in Glasgow, especially in Scotland.
Yeah, and I think I remember going to one. It was shown in Dublin. It's a good few years ago. I think it was on the road to Lisbon. It was something about Lisbon anyway. It's a bit of funeral. It's about a couple of mates who were in Lisbon getting back together for a funeral. And that was really good as well. And as you said, there's so many. We must actually walk out of many there is for another show.
I think you froze, Andrew.
Aaron, I lost you there for a little bit. I was just saying that I was at another show a good few years ago in Dublin. It was... I think it was On the Road to Lisbon, or it was about three lads who had been to Lisbon, but they were at a funeral of the fourth person who were, and it was very good as well. So there's so many, and maybe someday we'll get to do a podcast and we can go through all these plays and, you know, films about Celtic. Who knows if we get the time? But at the moment, I don't think you're going to get the time because you're so busy. Aaron, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on. Rumour has it that you might be co-hosting the festival in Thailand. I don't know if Paddy Kiss will let you off, but we are going back to Thailand for Paddy's Week. We'll be in Bangkok and Pattaya, and we're really looking forward to that. It's going to be great to hook up the Bangkok Celtic Supporters Club and the Pattaya Celtic Supporters Club. And I know bookings are going steady at the moment for the hotel, because they sent me an email this morning with those who had booked, and we've got Australia, New Zealand, I think Singapore, Hong Kong, the boys from Thailand themselves, and then some from the UK, and of course the St. Margaret's crew from my crew will all be there as well. So who knows? Aaron, we're just gonna play out with the, well, not play out, we're gonna have a listen to the Jota interview now at the end. So listen, thank you so much for your time, and don't be a stranger during the season.
Thank you so much, Andrew. It's a pleasure. As always, thank you so much.
No, thank you. Folks, don't forget to hit that subscribe and alarm button if you want to hear podcasts like with the likes of the talented Aaron Boyle.
Hello. Hello, Jota. Delighted to have you back in the hoops.
Good to be back.
Absolutely delighted outside. Throughout last season, you showed that you could be the difference maker, whether that was scoring important goals or assist like that world-class goal that Kyogo scored from your pass against Ferencváros. What do you feel you improved upon in the last year, and what do you think you can improve upon or you're going to target this year?
Well, something really important for me was the game time, because I had 3 seasons that I didn't have plenty of game time, and that's something which is really important for a footballer, because you can train as long as you want, but the feelings that you have on the pitch will always be different from the training. There's just something different about the game itself. So I think that was the plus on my trajectory. And, the other one was what can I
improve upon?
Improve. Well, that's something that comes with the game and with the season. So I think I just have to keep on working hard in the training, to listen to the coach, to understand his ideas, and everything will be natural.
Yeah. Hi there. First of all, thank you for signing. It's made all of our summer, I think.
Thank you.
Just wanted to ask you touched on it there about the manager. How big a role did he play, and how big has his influence been on you over the past year to make the decision to become a permanent Celtic player?
The philosophy of Ange is something that I was looking for a long time. I've grown up with these ideas of the game when I was younger, and to find a coach like him in this stage of my career is really important for me, because I love the way we play, the intensity, the creativity, everything. The way we play, it's just tremendous. So it's just the right place to be and to develop, so I'm really happy to join. Yeah,
you said you fell in love with Celtic, and that's one of the reasons you've joined.
Aye.
You mentioned earlier about being at Benfica for 15 years. How much are you looking forward to playing in the Champions League, and how would you feel if they drew each other in the Champions League?
Yeah, that's a good question. So Champions League is something really big, and it's no lies that a player is always looking for to play this kind of competitions. So us being in this competition is really important, and I just want to make the best for us. And about the Benfica question, I just don't want to think about that.
You still need to qualify.
Yeah. I don't want to.
Jota, thank you very much for your time today. We've all been checking our phones all summer, you've been everywhere, so we're very thankful that you caught a flight to Glasgow.
Thank you.
Last season, you had some season, you impressed us all, and we've all been singing your name all season. You made your debut against Ross County, and you scored first against Raith Rovers. How did you feel when you missed the League Cup due to your hamstring injury? Was that quite a killer?
Yeah, definitely. So I was not here, I was doing the rehab away, and that was something that I really wish I could be in, but unfortunately our life is not easy, and sometimes we get these injuries and we have to adapt, we have to readjust, and I was treating myself to be here as soon as possible, but I was still in touch with everyone, and I tried to feel a bit of what everyone was feeling, that was it.
Welcome back, Jota. It's good to see you. The manager on Trophy Day spoke about all the players in the squad now being leaders in their own right after winning the title and winning the League Cup this season. What experiences would you pass on to any newcomers arriving at Celtic Park this season?
Wow, that was so Scottish. You have to say that.
So on Trophy Day, the manager spoke about all the players being leaders in their own right.
Yeah.
What experiences would you say you've learned this season that you would pass on to
from
Ange and from yourself, from your own perspective, to new players coming in?
Well, we never stop, right? I think that was the best thing he said, so that's pretty much all he says to us, because he doesn't want us to stop, and the way we play says much about what's our training's about and our idea of the game. We don't want to stop. We always want more, more and more goals, good football, to put a smile on the face of the fans whenever we play, because, of course, it's really important to win, and that's our main goal, but to win and to play good football, I think that's the ultimate challenge. So I think we did it quite a few times last season. Yeah.
Thank you. Well, Joel, welcome back. Pleasure to speak with you.
Cheers.
Very different situation this year from last year, because obviously you signed on deadline day and there was an expectation to come in and perform straight away. How does it feel this time around that you've got a full pre-season with Celtic, with the coach and the rest of the players to try and prepare for the next campaign?
Yeah, it was some crazy days last season, I still remember. On the deadline, yeah, then everything went well. This time I think I have time to prepare myself. I think it's actually the first time in 5 years that I can do a pre-season with the team that I will play or that I will be throughout the season. So I think it's good for everyone. I just want to prepare myself physically and mentally for the season that we are going to have and perform the best as I can.
Hi, Jota. Just to echo the previous comments, delighted that you've signed. I think Scottish football in general is a better place to have a player of your talents grace us each week. Last season was obviously a transitional season for Celtic. We had a new manager, a lot of new players and new ideas. Now that we've had a season, you know, with everyone getting used to each other, do you feel that we're much better equipped for European football next season? And are you excited that we would be able to compete at that level?
Definitely, I'm really excited to compete on that level, and I think we created a strong basis last season with the guys we had, all the lads, and this season it's just it's just another season that we have to do better and better. We know that we are in a competition really strong, a really strong competition, and we just want to do our best. And now we just have to be together, to get along again, and just to fly. Yeah.
Hi, Jota. Welcome home.
Thank you.
I'd like to say, of course, you know how big the club is, size and stature. You know how much of a fan favourite you are. Did you realise throughout the summer how much of a storm you caused with Celtic fans all over the world grabbing pictures with you, and we didn't know whether you were signing? Did you realise how popular you were throughout the summer on your holidays?
No, because I try to stay off the grid as much as I can. So yeah, I don't really have the idea. I just keep on focusing on my football and the training stuff and my family. And that's it. Those are my priorities. Some friends kept on telling me like, bro, this is happening, bro, this is happening. Yeah, and I said to myself, that's nice, that's happening. But yeah, I just found the philosophy of life to leave it straight, to focus on football and just to enjoy as much as I can. So thank you to everyone that showed the support, I guess. I think I cannot reach everyone because, well, we are millions, aren't we? So, well, a big thank you from me, yeah.
Hi, Jota. Welcome back. One of the players you linked up with very well last season was Kyogo. He's combined in the Europa League. How exciting is it to link up with Kyogo again in the Champions League and the other competitions, and how good a player is he?
Kyogo is an amazing player, I have to tell you. Like, some of his movements are world-class. I'm not sure if there's many players in the world who can do his movements. And I've seen a lot of strikers and quality strikers. So to be in the team like this team with Kyogo just helps. But not just Kyogo, I think we have a lot of quality in every sector, every position, and whoever goes on the pitch will be ready for sure, which is the best thing on our team. Everyone is always ready to perform and to deliver results, and that's what we are looking for. Yeah.
Hi, Jota, welcome back.
Hello.
To Celtic. Last season was turned out to be such a special season for the club, all the fans back in after COVID, Ange coming in, reclaiming the league trophy. But what was the highlight of the season for you? What was your top moment of the year?
I think there was a game, I've said this before, I think there was a game that we clicked, which was against Betis away. I think that was the game we thought, okay, we can really play this way and we can fight against the best teams. And if we do what we did today, we can do much better in the future. And then it's just believe on Ange ideas and every coach. Because after that, we just thought to ourselves, like, okay, let's do it. But to do this, we must all believe. If there's one who doesn't believe, this is not going to be good. So the end product was there with the titles in the end, which shows that it was that we believed. Yeah.
Hi, Joe.
Hello.
Yeah, you seem to have an instant chemistry with this club culture and fan base. And I was just wondering if you would give us an insight into what it's like, what it's really like playing for this club, being an outsider coming into the Celtic family.
I think that's something that only players who have played in here in Celtic Park can answer, and might not be like created words to explain the feeling of that. I can say many words about that, but it will never be worth it, you know, because only the people who can live it inside can say to you like, yeah, that's different. So yeah, I wish I could explain this better, but it's impossible. It's a great feeling. It's something special, looking around, playing in the pitch and everything, and to defend these colors, it's truly tremendous. Yeah.
Hi, Jota. I just wanted to say welcome to Celtic. I'm
Thank you.
Personally very glad to have you here.
Thank you.
With Celtic automatically qualifying for the Champions League group stage next season, what are your hopes and aspirations for yourself and Celtic as a whole in this competition?
Well, I think we think game after game, and after that we see what happens. But one thing we are sure, we are going to keep our ideas. We are not going to be a different team from last season just because this is Champions League. That doesn't make sense for us. So we are just going to try to practice our football and to do it the best way we can. And that's it. Let's fight against them all. Yeah.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.